So our scripture reading today is from John chapter 1, verse 18, and I'll go right into that. Okay, in the beginning, am I going? is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The darkness shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From this fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Bernadette. That was my fault. I looked on the order of worship and I saw I didn't put the 1-2. So, sorry about that. Isaiah 9:2 tells us, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For to us a son is born, to us a son is given. To a world in darkness, God came. The coming of Jesus is the coming of light into the world. Light is commonly used in the Bible in reference to God. Light imagery is also applied to the Lord's presence in the midst of his people in the last days. The passage here in John 1 that Bernadette read is the prologue to the Gospel of John. Themes of life, light, darkness, truth, and glory are presented. Themes that are picked up and developed further as the Gospel of John unfolds. And here in this prologue, John highlights the pre-existence of Christ, divine light entering the world, and the opposition of light and darkness. Verse 1 opens with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word is eternal. The Word is in relationship to God the Father, and the Word is God. The term word is the common Greek word logos, which meant speaking a message, a divine utterance. Jesus is the logos. He has always been in relationship with God the Father. He did not come at some point in time into existence or begin a relationship with the Father. He is one with God. We will not understand the good news of Jesus in the fullest sense unless we understand him from this point of view, that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He is the one who is God's Word, who is God, and who was with God before time was. Burge notes this. Jesus is not one Savior among the world's many Saviors, nor is He one good man among many men. Jesus is God in flesh. Or as the theologians of Nicaea framed it, Christ and the Father share the same essence or being. There never was a time when the Son did not exist. John begins by establishing the fact that Jesus was there before the creation of the world. As one with God, He's attributed with divine functions, such as creation and the giving of life. He was responsible for the creation of the world. Nothing came into being without Him. Paul reiterates this in Colossians 1:16-17, where he says, "In Him all things were created, and in Him all things hold together. For in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." I think we can sometimes get caught up in a mindset of us being prominent, judging things from our perspective, fitting Jesus into our mold. But we are the ones created. Jesus is preeminent. Jesus is the Messiah, the one longed for. But more than that, He is the Son of God. It's not that Jesus was this sweet little baby who grew up to perform powerful deeds and was a great teacher. Rather, Jesus is God become flesh. He's God stepping into the context of humanity, offering life and hope. To illustrate this, I would like to read to you an old Christmas story written by Lewis Cassels. It's called The Man and the Birds. Now, the man to whom I'm going to introduce you was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man, generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other people. But he just didn't believe all the incarnation stuff which churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. "I'm truly sorry to distress you," he told his wife, "but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve." He said, "I'd feel like a hypocrite," that he'd much rather just stay at home, but that he would wait up for them. And so he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier, and then went back to his fireside chair and began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, then another and another, sort of a thump or thud. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs against his living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm and, in a desperate search for shelter, had tried to fly through his large landscape window. Well, he couldn't let the poor creatures lie there and freeze, so he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter if he could direct the birds to it. Quickly, he put on a coat and boots and trampled through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the doors wide and turned on a light, but the birds did not go in. He figured food would entice them in, so he hurried back to the house, fetched breadcrumbs, sprinkled them on the snow, making a trail to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flap around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them, waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. And then he realized that they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, "I'm a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, But I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Because any move he made tended to frighten them, confuse them. They would just not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. If only I could be a bird, he thought to himself, and mingle with them and speak their language. Then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to safety, warmth, to the safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind, and he stood there listening to the bells. Adeste Fidelis, O come, all ye faithful. He listened to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas, and he sank to his knees in the snow. God took on human flesh, becoming one of us, to show us the way to life, communicating about himself. Christ is fully God, revealing himself to the world. He calls us out of the darkness and the cold to the warmth of his love and everlasting life with him. The character of the world is a place of darkness, and we have sure seen that lately. And we are like birds caught in the snow, hitting windows, trying to find warmth, desperately searching for help. God steps in, giving life in the darkness, bringing hope where there is no hope. The coming of Jesus into the world he created is described as light shining in the darkness. In John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus makes this pronouncement that he is the light of the world at a very significant time. Well, let me paint the picture for you. This takes place during the Festival of Tabernacles, a celebration that took place near the end of or late autumn, and it encompassed two ceremonies, a water ceremony recalling the need for water, and a light ceremony marking the winter darkness. As part of all these festivities, around the courtyard of the temple were four large stands. These rose up over the walls of the outside of the temple. And on each of these four stands were four golden bowls. These 16 golden bowls were filled with oil and a wick. Well, during the lighting of these bowls of oil, choirs of Levites would sing. Great to have the choir singing for us today as we celebrate. And there would also be dancing in the streets. It was quite the celebration. When these bowls were lit at night, it illuminated the entire city of Jerusalem. In a world that didn't have public lighting like we do, this shining from Jerusalem's Yellowstone walls must have been truly spectacular. And on the final day of this festival, in this very court where this lighting ceremony takes place, Jesus stands beneath the 16 lit bowls of oil and says that he is not only the light of Jerusalem, but the light of the whole world. But not everyone responded to the light, and not everyone wants the light. John notes, light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. The light invades the darkness, shining on every person and exposing them for who they are. And people often don't want what they do brought into light. Darkness is hostile. There is a struggle between light and darkness. And as we know, as Jesus' earthly life unfolds, he faced severe opposition. The use of the word world in John's gospel is actually a theological term. Most of the time, it's not the created order of things or the natural environment, but it's the sphere of creation that lives in rebellion. God's coming in the midst of this rebellion is a testimony to his character and his love. Grace is found in God's coming and working despite the hostility and the rejection of the world. There is only one hope, and it is found in God in Christ. Darkness cannot defeat or overcome the world. The light shining in the darkness, and the darkness does not extinguish the light. We can still feel the darkness, seeing the devastating events that have been going on in the world around us. Missing family members, maybe through death, through bereavement, or separation. Seasonally affected disorders that can make this a depressing time of year. Maybe difficult childhood memories, they often can be heightened this time of year. But we can celebrate his coming. We can praise God's name and celebrate his goodness, his love, his responses to our prayers. As he listened to the cries of his people, he listens to our cries, bringing light and life. I appreciated Berg's comment where he said, "When God takes this initiative, new possibilities are born. Divine power is released into the broken world and its broken lives so that new life is possible." The theological key that the world finds so foreign lies here. Transformation and hope cannot be the fruit of some human endeavor. Only God can take the initiative. And men and women must see, receive, and believe the work he desires to do. And when they do, they are reborn to become God's children. In the church today, as in Jesus' time, we have several celebratory festivals. Christmas, Easter, Pentecost. These are joyous celebrations. And sometimes we look at the world and we see all this darkness, and it seems like evil is triumphing. Good people suffer and are even being persecuted for their faith. And we can question, will things ever be put right? The answer is yes. The celebration of Christmas reminds us of the incarnation, that God has come to earth in the person of his son, Jesus. At Easter, we celebrate how he has defeated evil through the cross and the resurrection. And we know that final victory will take place when Jesus comes again. And in the meantime, we also celebrate Pentecost. We're reminded that he has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can experience a foretaste of that final victory right now. We celebrate these great events annually in the church, but we can also celebrate them daily in our heart. The author of creation became part of his creation. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This is a life-changing verse if we see it for what it is, if we see him for who he is. Leslie Newbegin comments that when a person turns to faith in Jesus Christ, they meet not a stranger, but one whom he or she recognizes as the one in whom they are loved and chosen before the foundation of the world. When we embrace the light, we are transformed, aligning ourselves with light instead of darkness. And we are to be reflections of this light. That's something that we can do this Christmas. Jesus brings his light into our lives. And in this, we celebrate and we worship. To close this morning, I want to light candles as a symbolic reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. God come to earth. What I want you to do is I want to invite you to get a candle and maybe do it as a family or as a couple. light it off of a center candle that I will have there, and then place that candle in the sand. And as you do this, think of him as the light of the world, and receiving that light into your life, and then reflecting that light to others. May this be an act of worship, as we're reminded of the song, O Holy Night. The thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. Let's pray. Jesus, we come this morning and we acknowledge you as God, the one in the beginning, one with the Father, creating us and caring for us so much that you were willing to come to earth so that we might have life. This final Sunday before Christmas, we come to worship you, to celebrate who you are and what you have done. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open our eyes. Let us see this truth. Here we are this morning to bow down. Here we are to say this morning that you are our God. We come this Christmas with gratitude and celebration. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.